Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Reading from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10, 11, and verses 25 through 31. A grade school teacher was once in front of her children at school, and she asked her young pupils to write a poem about their mother. And this is what one of them wrote. There's a coming sale on mothers, 50 cents apiece. They're mothers from Seattle and Tacoma, and some sliding in from Greece. Their mother's short and mother's tall, mother's fat and mother's small. But I'm thinking I'll not sell my mother. She's a saint. I love her. And that's all. So that was, I thought, a cute poem that was written, and wanted to share that with you. Anna M. Jarvis first suggested the national observance honoring all mothers, because she loved her own mother so dearly. This is from a religious publication a few years ago. At a memorial service for her mother on May 10, 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation, her mother's favorite flower, to each person who attended. Within the next few years, the idea of a day to honor mothers gained popularity, and Mother's Day was observed in a number of large cities in the United States. On May 9, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of our country. John Ruskin once made this statement, that the success of a mother is to be measured by the happiness of her husband and the nobleness of her children. This is not a church holiday as such, but many are thinking of their mothers on this particular day. And there are a number of New Testament mothers that we could look at to see how they lived. But I call your attention to one of those mothers, and her great joy in life came from the faithfulness of her son. And that mother was Eunice, the mother of Timothy. We don't know much about Eunice. The Bible doesn't say much about her. But we learn much of her as we look at her son. Timothy grew up in a town by the name of Lystra. Paul met him there on his second missionary journey, and later Timothy traveled with Paul and became his close helper and confidant, I guess you would say. And he was so well thought of by the Apostle Paul that Paul wrote in one of his epistles, the epistle to the Philippians. Philippians 2, in fact, let's turn there. Philippians 2, 20 through 22. Philippians 2, 20 through 22. This is what Paul had to say about Eunice's boy. Let's read beginning in verse 18. For this cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, or Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him that is a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So Paul, one of the noted writers and apostles of the New Testament, thought extremely highly of this man, this young man, Timothy. He served Paul, and he served his God faithfully in all that he did. So we don't read much about his mother, Eunice, but we want to look at this young man, Timothy, this morning. We want to see what we can learn from Timothy that tells us something about his mother and leaves a legacy for her. So our thoughts today are upon our Mother's Day. I want to look at Timothy and look at three aspects of his life. I think we can see the mother in Timothy as we look at his faith. His faith was preceded by the faith of his mother, but also his grandmother. His grandmother is mentioned. Grandmother Lois, mother Eunice. And so we see that Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. And Paul may have done some of the teaching, but we find that much teaching had been done preceding the time that Paul met him. And that teaching, by word and I'm sure by influence, was done by his grandmother and by his mother. Paul recognized the importance of the influence of the mother and of that grandmother, as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 5. Now I'll be reading from the King James Bible. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I think it was something that Paul, in writing to this young man, he told him on one occasion to not let folk despise his youth. And here he passes encouragement along to the young man by bringing to his attention the great faith of his grandmother and the great faith of his mother. I'm sure that was encouragement to this young man as he would face those many who would be much older than he was. But as he taught them the gospel, as he built upon the foundation that had been laid by the Apostle Paul in many of the places that Timothy went. Faith always has a source, doesn't it? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But many times it's not the child that picks up a Bible and learns from his or her reading of the Bible, but first hears from a parent as that parent reads the Bible, or as that child reads the life of that mother, grandmother, or parent. In fact, there was somebody I heard on the radio this morning coming in said our children sometimes do the things we say, but most of the time they do the things we do. And we find that a lot of times that as our children are out in public, and no, we don't call them down there, they remember those things that we do, and they do some of those things. So they pick up on the influence. They pick up on that which we do, that which we say. This genuine faith, or unfeigned faith, as the Apostle Paul called, was not only present in these women and the grandmother and the mother, but Paul said that he was persuaded that Timothy had that faith too. And that Timothy had faith in God, had faith in Christ Jesus, because he was taught the Scriptures. He was taught the Bible by his grandmother and his mother. Godly mothers like Hannah of the Old Testament and Eunice produced godly sons like Samuel and Timothy. An ungodly mother mentioned in the Bible in 2 Chronicles 22 is a woman by the name of Athaliah. Athaliah was the mother of Ahaziah, who was the king of Judah. And she produced an ungodly son. And it said of her, I don't know whether this is her legacy, but it's not much of a legacy, 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 3, that she was her son's counselor to do wicked. She was her son's counselor to do wickedly. 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 3. To you who are mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, we are grateful for you. And sometimes I'm sure a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter probably doesn't say that enough. But we need to remember our mothers not only on this day, but on each and every day. And remember them while they're here. Give me the roses while I live, is a song that the country singers used to sing. Perhaps you'll be remembered as one mother was in a Sunday school class by her son. This small boy was asked, was told that it is God who makes people good. And this boy, young boy said, I know, but mothers help a lot too. So he was getting the lesson, seeing that his mother was going along and basing her life upon a godly life. So the faith of Timothy was preceded by the faith of his mother and his grandmother. The faith of Timothy was founded also upon the knowledge of God's Word. His faith was founded upon a knowledge of God's Word. To Timothy, Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. I marked my Bible to 2 Timothy so I could find all these scriptures that are in verse of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. These are exhortations from Apostle Paul to this young man Timothy. Continue, he says, keep on keeping on. Continue thou the things which you've learned, things he'd studied, some things that somebody studied with him, and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now the Scriptures that they would be talking about would be the Old Testament Scriptures. So Timothy was well grounded in the Old Testament because he had been taught from a child. I know sometimes, especially us men, many times we'll think that a small child can't learn as much. And we don't need to be, I've heard some folks saying, you don't need to be teaching a six-month-old baby anything. Well, you better be starting to teach that six-month-old baby something, yes. 6 months, 1 year earlier than 6 months, actually. 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, we should have Bible classes wherever we are that addresses that particular age and the needs of that age. We should teach them from a child the Scriptures. The Scriptures. It's never too early to learn something. I don't know whether I remember that from my daddy or who, but it's never too early to learn something. And a lot of times the earlier we learn it, or the earlier we're taught it, the more We are to remember it. I know a lot of you, probably like me, remember things from an early age. And it's difficult to forget those things. And hopefully some of those things will be the Scriptures. Hopefully some of those things will make us wise unto salvation, as Timothy was. Timothy's mother and grandmother accepted a divine-given responsibility to teach this young man. And today we need to, as families, we need to teach our children, as grandparents, as we have opportunity, by our lives and by what we teach and say around our grandchildren, we should be helping to teach them. We should definitely not be setting a bad example before them. And like I mentioned before, a lot of times kids as well as adults pick up on things they see more often than things that they hear us say. So Timothy's teaching started at a very early age from a child. That's when those attitudes, that's when the morals, that's when habits are formed. And that is one of the reasons we find that many of our school systems today are in such a mess. It's not because we're not paying our teachers enough, although we're probably not. But we're not, parents are not teaching their children when they're home and early enough. And fathers are not taking the responsibility. We're on Father's Day, so we'll wait for Father's Day to jump on. Fathers, I sometimes get off more on fathers than I do on mothers. I guess we have fond memories of our mothers, and sometimes due to the disciplinary things that went on for us, those of us of my age, we may not have quite so fond a memory of the things with our father. But nothing is said of Timothy's father, other than in Acts 16 and verse 1, Luke says, "Then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there was named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek." We don't know his name. We don't know anything else about him. But I take it from that, that it said, because it says that his mother believed, that his mother was a follower, a believer in God anyway, and likely a believer in Christ, and that his father probably wasn't. It doesn't indicate to me that he was. Whether he ever became a Christian, we don't know. But here we find that what appears to be a situation where a mother is having to train the child as far as his spiritual life and what she wants him to know as far as his spiritual life is concerned, she's doing it by herself. And that many times is what happens. But that's exactly what happened here. It was a grave responsibility to place on her, but she carried out that responsibility faithfully from the time he was a child. From the time he was a child. Before your child has come to seven, teach him well the way to heaven. Better still, the truth will thrive if he knows it when he's five. Best of all, if at your knee he learns it when he's only three. So we learn about Timothy from his mother. The faith that he had, and that he exhibited, and the courage that he had to teach as he taught, and to teach where he taught. He was given that courage and that faith, and he had it as a result of early teaching by his mother and by his grandmother. But also the faith of Timothy resulted from a right attitude toward the Scriptures. You know, a lot of times today, folks in the world in general don't have a good attitude toward the Scriptures, toward the authority of the Bible. In fact, we have difficulty, in general, folks have difficulty with any authority. And that's one of the things I said a while ago. We need to show that we as adults have respect for authority, and so our kids, our grandkids will have respect for authority. And we need to teach that to the world. Wrong attitudes toward the Bible destroy its effectiveness. And a lot of times folks will say, I believe what you're saying, but I believe you're reading that from the Bible. I just don't believe that. Some groups will say that. But we need to, from a child, teach our young people, teach our children, that the Bible is God's authority. We need to look upon the Bible as not a book that contains contradictions, contains errors. There may be some things we do not understand at particular age. We need to study more. We need to learn more. We need to ask God for wisdom. But to say that the Bible is a book of fables or the Bible is not relevant today is to destroy its influence. Also, if we completely ignore the Bible, if it sits around on a table or sits around on a shelf, we're also teaching our children or our grandchildren by doing that. So from a child, Timothy had known and had been taught the Holy Scriptures. He was taught that the Bible, God's Word, was that which was able to make him wise unto salvation. I don't know how young he was. To Timothy, the book was holy, not a common book, not just another book. It was treated as God's Word, the Old Testament Scriptures, and I'm sure the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of a Messiah, one who was set upon the throne of David, one who would establish his kingdom in the day of the Roman Empire. He was taught that the Bible was inspired, looking again at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Paul said to Timothy, and I'm sure that he believed it before Timothy taught it, before Paul said it, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration. All Scripture is inspired. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of the Bible and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly, completely furnished unto all good works, totally equipped by God. That's what the Bible does for us. So Timothy was taught the Scriptures from a youth. Paul referred to the Scriptures as that which was given by inspiration of God. It's not just another book that we may or may not follow, and it may or may not offer our salvation. It may or may not get us to heaven. We need to be positive in our treatment of lessons from the Bible, because that's the way the Bible teaches it. Someone has said that no gift that you give to your mother can compare with that gift that your mother gave to you. And Timothy's mother, his grandmother, gave him a great gift in giving him life, but gave him a great gift also in giving him an understanding of the Scriptures, of the Old Testament Scriptures, from a youth. Paul, the aged apostle, would later place a huge responsibility upon the shoulders of his son in the faith, Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 2, he said to Timothy, and in the first verse he says, I charge thee before God. And he said in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And he gave him further instructions, 2 Timothy 4, 2 and following. And in that same chapter, Paul stops to take inventory of his life. Paul is likely in prison at this time, and also he's nearing the end of his life. And I think he wants Timothy to see the importance of that. This young man who had been properly brought up, who had been properly taught by a godly grandmother and a godly mother, was now to, in effect, take up the torch from Paul. Paul said in verse 7 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And because of the background of this young man, Timothy, and the experiences that he had over the years, Paul had great confidence that this young man would carry on the fight, would continue on the course that he had begun, and would keep the faith. A faith that first dwelt in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. This morning, if you're here with us, you're not a Christian. You studied with someone about Christ. You studied on your own the Bible about Christ. You realize that without Him and what He did for us on the cross, that you're lost, that you're in your sins. When I come to Jesus today confessing your faith in Him, expressing your need of Him, repenting of your sins, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, as they did in first century in the book of Acts. If you're a Christian this morning and desire the prayers of the congregation on your behalf, or you desire to rededicate your life to Christ, why not do that this morning as we stand and as we sing?
When Jesus comes to reward.